Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me this evening? Hallelujah. Okay, open your Bibles. Thank you, and open your notes. Let's start. Call it the tools of the prophets. Tools of the prophets or tools of prophecy? Tools of the prophets, tools of the prophecy, or tools of prophecy. Or you can just write in bracket the first and last prophets. The first and last prophets. I want to see if you can start this series today. We finish by Wednesday. The first and last prophets, set of prophets. So, well, by the time you get to the part two, you will know very well what I want to discuss. Because as we are starting new course in this ministry, there are things that is very important that we get, that we know. And so please follow me. This first part may look a bit boring. Just follow as intelligently as you can. It will lay a very strong foundation for what I will soon teach you in some hours' time. Amen. Are you with me, brethren? Are you with me? Say, I'm strong. Say, my mind is steady. Say, I'm able to receive the word. Say, I'm able to receive the word. Hallelujah. Say, the word is for a man like me. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a word man. Okay, good. Let's look. So, now, let's start this way. The word prophets, you see it, prophet or prophets, you see it over 300 times in the Old Testament. Over 300 times in the Old Testament, we find the word prophets there. Now, these stuffs, they are very important. Over 300 times in the Old Testament, we have the word prophet. Jeremiah used that word alone 53 times. Now, in the New Testament, we have the word prophet at least 160 times. 160 times. Jesus used that term over in the Old New Testament Greek. That means we have the word prophets over 160 times. Jesus used that term alone like 120 times. Of course, because the four Gospels contains repetition. So Jesus used, out of the 160, Jesus used at least 120 in the Gospels. Are you with me? Now, in the Hebrew, which is in the Old Testament, the word prophet is spelled very serious. N-A-B-I-Y. Of course, it's not I. They have their own Hebrew lettering, but N-A-B-I-Y. That is the best way I can. N-A-B-I-Y. Like a Nabi. Same way where Muslim gods are Nabi from. You understand? Nabi. Something Nabi. So, of course, in the Hebrew, that word simply means an inspired man. A prophet in the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, means an inspired man. Somebody that speaks by inspiration. So, but in the New Testament, the word prophet is simply prophets, like prophetess. Like just write prophet, write and add E-S. E-S. Because Greek is actually a richer language, so it gives us more meaning to who a prophet is. Please try not to sleep. Try to be alert. Try to be awake, fully awake. Oh, glory. Okay, good. Prophets in the New Testament is from two words, pro and femi. Pro, P-R-O, then femi, P-H-E-M-I. Hope you are with me. P-R-O, then P-H-E-M-I. Amen. Pro, of course, means before. Beforehand. Like, pro means to in advance. Ahead of time. That is pro. P-R-O. Like, Brother Shimon says, a pro. Pro means in advance, ahead of time. And femi means to say, to announce, to show. So, if you mix the two together, and that would mean to what? To say something ahead of time, right? To say something that has not happened. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, so a prophet is someone that, of course, we call him an interpreter of oracles. Interpreter of oracles. Men that receive words by inspiration. That receives words by inspiration, especially as touching future events. Men that receive words by inspiration, especially as touching future events. So you are called a prophet now, not just because you saw something, but because you said something about a future event. Not just because you saw something, but because you said something about what? A future event. Are you with me? Are you with me? So now, the next question is now, who are the prophets that are worthy of our time? That are worthy of this strange vision? That are worthy of discussion? Is there anybody that we call prophet that are worthy of attention? That's the next question. Which prophets are worthy of your discussion? Of discussion? Worthy of our time, worthy of exegesis. Let me just go straight to the point. See, even in today's world, in our churches today, when your message is not centered on Jesus, you will soon be less relevant. When your utterances is not about Jesus, you will soon be less relevant. We have several people today, several pastors today that are doing national prophets, predicting results of election, predicting the next president for Nigeria. For you, God did not send you that. Even if you receive stuff by inspiration, no, don't stop enthroning yourself on a throne that God has not put you. Just share with, among saints. Don't have to go on NTA and say, yes, this is me. I am telling you. Just even I didn't even think you should share among the whole congregation. Can you just talk about this is why I received the concern of the election? Nobody has such assignment. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. When your own message is not about the Messiah, amen. Glory. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, one to go. Of the increase of his kingdom and peace there shall be no end. Amen. Say, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. See, the only government that will cut across all governments is that of Christ. The only government that will cut across all dispensations, that will cut across all lands, all times, all ages, that the only way to remain relevant forever is for you to be involved in the government of Christ. Stop doing national prophets. Stop doing, I am sent to America. I'm sent to the Senator. I'm sent to Aso Rock. Stop doing that. Daniel chapter 12 verse 2. This is how to be relevant eternally. This is how to be relevant in the plan of God eternally. 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 Daniel 12 verse 2. Many of them that sleep in the dust. Come on, try and open your Bible. Be fast. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3. Let's take it together. One to go. Yes, sir. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn men into righteousness as the what? Stars forever. Hallelujah. So the man that centers his ministry on Christ will never lose relevance eternally. Quote me anywhere. The man that sent us, what we do for the gospel will be eternally rewarded. God will reward you for eternity. That's strong. That means God will keep rewarding you without end. Eternal reward. See, I tell you the truth. It is when we actually put off this body, that is when life begins. It's called eternity. Amen. Then you became born again. You started your journey of eternity. It's eternity. Praise God. So coming back to what we are discussing, prophets. Now, but actually, when I'm saying prophet right now, please be smart enough to know that I'm talking about the Old Testament prophets. I am not talking about people. I'm not really talking about prophets in our time. I'm not really talking about 1 Corinthians 14. I'm actually talking about prophets in the Old Testament. 2 Peter 1 verse 19. 2 Peter 1 verse 19. Come on. Try me fast. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, propheticos. Please, if you have not written down this one down, please write it down this time and get it clearly, get this concept clearly. We have a more sure word of prophecy, propheticos. That's right, prophet, then write it, articos, T-I-K-O-S. Whereunto you do well that you take it as unto the light that shineth in a dark place unto the day dawn and day star arise in your heart. Propheticos means something proceeding from a prophet. Propheticos is an adjective. It always qualifies a noun. An adjective qualifies a noun. That's English. So in this place, that word prophecy is qualifying word there. Word of prophecy. Are you with me? Logos propheticos. Word of prophecy. Brashim, are you with me? Word of prophecy. Now, if you, funny enough, when the only other place that this word propheticos was used in the New Testament Greek was Romans chapter 16, 26. And it is qualifying scriptures again. Romans 16, 26. Well done. Well done. Where did I lose you? Juliet. Last statement. What are the last statement? I said propheticos is an adjective qualifying a document. It qualifies a noun. It qualifies a noun. So in this place, the word prophecy, propheticos here is qualifying word. That is word of prophecy. Logos propheticos. I said the same, the other place where the same word is used is also qualifying the scripture. Check Romans 16:26. Okay, let's read together. Are you there? Come on, one, two, go. Yes. But now is made manifest by the what? Scriptures of the prophets. Say scriptures of the prophets. So that is same propheticos again. You see, they are always using it with the scriptures. So that is why we call scriptures the prophecy. Ojut is beautiful. That's beautiful will be qualifying Ojut. Amen. Abi, beautiful will not be an adjective, right? Ojut is the noun. So word of prophecy, scriptures of prophecy, logos propheticos. Meaning scripture, we can call scripture a book of prophecy. Prophecy. About what? Now the next word will now help you. Verse 20. Knowing this first, there's no prophecy. Now the use of word now change there from propheticals to what? Prophetia. That means right prophet. You add what? E-I-A. E-I-A. Get this concept. See, these are fundamentals in the Bible. These are fundamentals of Bible interpretation. Right prophet now, add E-I-A. Are you with me? Are you with me? Knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Talking, now, prophetia means prophesying, means the utterance. Now, this one deals with the exact words, the exact stuff they are saying. The one in verse 19 is more like the entire book, the book, just the book of the prophets, the book that contains prophecy. But this one now deals with the instantaneous, the exact stuff, prophesying. No prophesying of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Meaning, so he's saying in verse 20 that you cannot interpret any prophecy of the scripture, any prophesying of the scripture individually. Why? Because of 21. What is 21? Because the prophecy, before the prophesying came not in the old time by the will of man. But holy men of God, they did what? They spake as they were being moved by the Holy Ghost. So because there is a common inspiration behind the entire scripture. Are you with me? Are you with me? Because there is a common inspiration. There is a common speaker. There is a common inspiration behind everybody that is speaking. Therefore, you cannot look at everybody disjointedly. Oh, Jesus. That would mean something must be common in the prophecy of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Because there is a common origin. Because there's a common inspiration, there's a common motivator to speak. So because there is something, so the energy behind there, sorry to use the word for energy, the Holy Ghost that brought the prophecy to them is the same. Therefore, you cannot interpret their documents differently. Are you getting this, brethren? Are you getting this? Because the inspiration behind all the prophets is the same. Therefore, when you are reading them, you cannot read Isaiah and you think it's different from what Habakkuk is saying. You cannot go to Solomon and say, okay, Solomon, your own book is to teach us romance. Proverbs, your own book is to teach us wealth principles. Esther, your own book is to teach us how to organize beauty pageant in church. No, come on. Common inspiration. Say common inspiration. So, the Holy Ghost moved them to say what? What are they prophesying about? 1 Peter 1 verse 9. 1 Peter 1 verse 9. What are they moved towards? What are they moved to? What are they moved to prophesy about? Please, this is very fundamental. Just get this first part clearly. 1 Peter 1 verse 9. Are you there? Now, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of souls. Okay, say the end of your faith. That means the result of your faith is the salvation of souls. The result. Okay, come on. Next verse. Verse 10. Of which what? Salvation. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently who did what? Prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Verse 11, slowly, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified before and the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, back to verse 10, he said, the salvation that the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. He now who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Once a word is repeated twice, please pay attention. Once a word is used twice in the scripture, once a word is used twice in a text, please pay attention. That means that word is the unlocking of understanding in that place. So to understand what is happening here, which word must we pay attention to? Huh? Salvation, number one. Any other word? Prophet, yes. Any other word? Of course, we have studied salvation. We know what is salvation. We know who is prophet. Any other word that is here that is repeated in verse 10 and verse 11? Which word, brethren? Search, right? Searching, right? Please write this down. And this is very key. The word searching in the Greek, that is E-R-E-U-N-A-O. E-R-E-U-N-A-O. E-O-N-A-O. Something like that. E-O-N-A-O. It simply means making inquiry. Making inquiry, investigating, write that down, investigating. Now, just the same word that is being used in that should be John 5:39. You know what is there? John 5:39. You search the scripture. Search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life. The same scripture that testify of me. The same word they use in, that should be John 7. Please just write John 5:39 down for your reference. Also write John 7:52. When he said that, they said unto him, thou go and search and look for no prophet, no out of Galilee arise no prophet. Search. I mean search. Okay, the same thing, right? Romans 8:27. He that searched the hearts. So, their prophecy is called searching. Let me ask you this question. Is it everything that you search that you find? Actually, at all. Are you with me? So, when you are searching for something, at times, is it every time you search for something that you get it? No, right? So, when we said searching,
That will mean at times, write this down, at times they will be right. At times they will be on the way. At times they will be wrong and they will start again. At times they will be right. At times they will be on the way. At times they will be wrong and they will have to start again. So write this down. They were experimenting. They were experimenting. For Peter to use that word twice, okay, let me repeat all I've said. I said at times the prophets, they will be right. At times the prophet, they will be on the path to being right. At times they will be wrong and they will have to start again in their prophecy. And their right is being prophesied. Their wrong is being prophesied. Their on the way is also being what? Prophesied. Because don't forget, when I was teaching you prophecy in this church, I said the prophet receives inspiration as he speaks. Are you with me? How does he receive majorly? As he speaks. Not majorly in the dream, as he speaks. If you study Ezekiel very well, you will see that you just said, the guy will just say, the burning of the Lord is upon me, and he will begin to speak. So they were experimenting. Experimenting. Now, write this down in your notes. Peter already exonerated the imperfections of a prophet by using that word. Can you give me another word for exonerate? He already excused, like he already told you that, please don't expect the prophets to always be perfect. That is why we use that word, searching, for you. Searching. Don't expect them to always get it right. So, but don't forget, even when they are not right, they are on the way. Even when they are wrong, they will start again. So, and unluckily for you, that is the only document you have got to find out your salvation. Amen, amen. Do you know Paul never had Matthew to Revelation? There was no false gospel when Paul was around. There was no Acts of the Apostle. There was no Romans. In fact, he wrote it himself, right? So, what was called Bible in their days was Genesis to Malachi. Amen. I wish if that is all we have today. A lot of people just become Muslims. Where is Jesus in this one? You must find Jesus from those books. They don't have what we call the New Testament documents that we have today. Amen. So let's read verse 12 now. Unto whom? Remember, have I explained this one to you, verse 12? Remember? Come on, have I explained it to you? Verse 12, do you remember? How did I put it? He said, unto whom? He said there that unto whom it was revealed. I said, no. The whole of it was revealed is just one Greek word. It's a question. See, unto whom was it revealed? It's a question. Unto whom was it revealed? Not unto themselves, but unto us. They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So, let's see who is the first person that was called a prophet in the entire Bible. First man that was called a prophet. Who can guess? Abraham, right? So Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. The first mention of prophets in the Bible. Law of first mention. Don't forget, a prophet must be saying something. Wow, this will unlock the Bible to you. This will help you with your Bible interpretation. Who is the first man they can call the prophet? That is called a prophet in the Bible. Don't worry, I know you may have some stuff in your head. Just follow me. Genesis 20, verse 7. Are you there? Let's read together. Now, therefore, restore the man is what? His wife. For he is a what? He is a prophet. He shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. If thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, and thou and all that are dying. So, Abraham was the first person to be called a prophet in the Bible. First man to be called a prophet. So, he must have said something. He must have said something. Please, if your barrel is faint, please ensure you write this one as thick as you can. At times, they pass the message through events. At times, they pass the message through a drama.
Write events majorly.
At times, they pass the message through circumstances.
Genesis 12, verse 1. Let's see the major circumstance that surrounds Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 12. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And the Lord went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Read verse 7. Verse 7. Want to go, everybody? Yes, sir. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So, Isaac was the physical seed Abraham was expecting. Isaac was the physical seed that Abraham was expecting. Galatians 3:16 now says something else. Isaac was the physical seed, was the physical expectation of Abraham. But Abraham being a prophet, he is meant to announce, declare, say something. 3:16, what's there? Want to go? Okay, I'll wait for you. Galatians 3:16. Be awake, be alive. Okay, let's do it. Want to go? Yes. Now, to Abraham and his seed. Why the promise made. Okay, since he's seed, that should be Isaac, right? Let's read the latter part. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Isaac. Which is who? Which is Christ, not Isaac. Say Christ. Say Christ. So Christ was the message. What will Isaac now be? A type, a symbol, any other word? A shadow, any other word? What do you say, please? It is the drama. Now, so, don't forget, there are some events surrounds Isaac. E.g., we saw, please don't forget this at all. E.g., Isaac, the birth of Isaac looks impossible, right? This guy was barren. God did not make him barren so that God can bring Isaac through him. No. God saw a man in problem. God saw a man that is barren. God saw a man that is sick. And God wanted to give him a miracle. But your miracle will be more relevant than just a miracle. Your miracle will be such that we define, that we speak of the event, that we speak of the message, that we speak of the Christ. Are you with me? Try and put that one down in your own words. So, check Genesis 22 verse 1. So, number one, so Isaac, in the type, Isaac was, the birth of Isaac was impossible. Same way the redemption of man looks impossible. Man looks so irredeemable. Man looks too lost to be found. Are you with me, brethren? Man looks normally on the surface almost too lost to be found. How will this man be saved? And also, we saw, now see Genesis 22 verse 1. Try and be awake. The lady at the back, be awake. Huh? Soon be done. Yes, Branchimez is awake. 22 verse 1. Let's read together. Yes, one to go. Yes, everybody. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Leave that one. And said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. Verse 2, 1 to go, let's read. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Okay, slowly, let me just explain something that I don't plan to. You see verse 22, verse 1, it says, God did tempt Abraham. But we know, the epistle told us that God has not tempted anybody, that God has not tempted anybody before. So this is one of the drama. Because you can see, epistle said Isaac was never the seed. He was never the seed. He was never the seed. So what was happening in verse 2? He said, take, now see God's terminology. He said, take you your son, your only son. But excuse me, Abraham also has what? Ishmael, right? Ishmael was there. But God is saying, Mr. Man, you have one son. The same way, if you remember when I was explaining the issue of Melchizedek to you, I said, when Melchizedek is a normal man, he must have wives, children, descendants, but because his life found purpose in something that is greater than him. Therefore, when prophecy, because prophecy want to use him as a type and shadow of the priesthood of who? Of Jesus. Therefore, prophecy deleted his, the record of his what? Of lineage, of his children, father, everything deleted. Why? Because your life is about to serve a purpose. So therefore, because of the message, he said, yeah, Abraham, you have how many sons? One son. Not two. See chapter 22 verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Verse 8, want to go? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Hallelujah. Say, God himself will provide a lamb. So if Abraham was truly a prophet, we didn't see him prophesy much. Are you with me? We have not seen plenty thus saith the Lord. In fact, don't forget, all those thus saith the Lord, they start coming after Moses. Even, do you see Moses say plenty thus saith the Lord? I think I have to check it very well. I mean, you just see what's like, and the Lord appeared to Moses, and the Lord said to him. All those, like, those technology, it was all those bad later than now developed that one, that could thus saith the Lord. They now start getting professional. You know what I'm saying? You get me? So, now, if Abraham was a prophet, we didn't see him speak much. But the adventure, write this down just this way, the adventures of Isaac was his communication. Isaac was his communication. Isaac was his tool in prophecy. Isaac was never a Messiah, but Abraham's tool to communicate the Messiah. I take all that again. We didn't see Abraham speak much, but the adventure of Isaac was his communication. Isaac was his tool in prophecy. His tool in prophecy. Isaac was his tool in prophecy. Isaac was never a Messiah, but Abraham's tool to communicate the Messiah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you with me? So did Abraham prophesy? How did he speak? Through the life of Isaac. That's why I use the word adventure. Because the prophecy even started before he was born. The birth of Isaac in itself is Abraham speaking. As he brought him forth, is still Abraham speaking. As they went together for that sacrifice, that was Abraham's communication. Are you with me, brethren? So did Abraham prophesy? So where can we find these words in the life of Isaac? Okay, let's look at one more, then I release you for now. Although the first man recorded as a prophet in the Bible was Abraham, but there was a man that was also called a prophet that even lived before Abraham. Jude 1 verse 14. Someone that lived even before that was called a prophet. Please don't lose this. That was called a prophet. Enoch also, Jude 1 verse 14. JJ, awake, awake. Awake, awake. Okay, Jude 1:14. Want to be less read, yes. And Enoch said, who is not there, please? Is everybody there? Okay, and Enoch said, Enoch also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Wow. Huh? Hold on, I'm teaching. Hallelujah. As I'm reading it for you. Calm down. Amen. Do you know if I have some hidden scrolls in my left pocket that I received from Oracle? So calm down, that's why I'm here. So that is so strict, so very controversial text. Enoch prophesied. So firstly, let's first do the one we can do. Let's see everywhere Enoch was talked about in the Old Testament. Are you ready? In the Old Bible. Firstly, Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. How do you prophesy, my guy? Where? Elijah. Do we have some lost book that we must find and add to the canons of the scripture? I doubt if I will be qualified to do that. Genesis 5:18. Are you there? 5:18. We are reading together. Good. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. 19. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. 24 is the key. 1, 2, go. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and he begat Lamech. Follow this, so. And Methuselah lived after he began Lamech 782 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Okay, we also add the genealogy of 1 Chronicles 1:1. Be fast. 1 Chronicles 1:1. Just genealogy. Just direct. 1 Chronicles 1:1. What did I call the difference between the book, 1 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles? Remembered? Hallelujah. So which one is from the kings? Chronicles, right? That is the account of the kings. Or the prophets, they wrote 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Are you with me? So that's why Chronicles, when Chronicles is writing, they wrote like everything. So one verse was there, you saw Adam, Seth, right? Enosh, Kenan, Maelael, Jared, Enoch. That's your Enoch, okay? Not the first one. Are you with me? This H-E-N, then Methuselah, then Lamech, then Noah, Shem, Ab, and Japheth. Thank you. Would you choose the master of those ones? Hebrews 11 verse 5. Come on. Rush to the New Testament. We are still looking for Enoch up and down. Hebrews 11 verse 5. So when we don't know where we are going, we go back to where we are coming from. Okay, Hebrews 11 verse 5. Let's see what the writer of Hebrews has to say about this guy. Are you there? Okay, let's read. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he asked this testimony. He asked this testimony that he pleased God. And he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he's saying verse 5 and 6, he's saying Enoch pleased God by faith. He's not saying
Of course, today, you still please go by faith, but it's not that verse 6 is not really a general verse. It's connected to the age of Enoch. That pleasing God in that age is by what? By faith. So, where actually was he recorded that he said something? Just listen to me. You can just write one or two words from this. I'll just read three commentaries for you. Just three commentaries for you and see what they said. Okay, I start with John Wesley. You can just write just listen to everything and just write the conclusion of what I'm about to say. So John Wesley said something like, he said, of this also, as well as the antediluvian sinners, Enoch, so early was the prophecy referred to, the seventh from Adam. There were only five of the teachers between Adam and Enoch. There are five teachers between Adam. That means all those guys you are seeing, they are more than just, it's more than just genealogy. They are people with a message. For you to know what happened at the Tower of Babel, somebody is there with a message. Are you with me? Somebody is around that time that was not really mentioned, but that has a message that is there to sustain something. Good. Well, don't forget the message of there was no iPad then, there is no Bible, nothing was written, no writing yet. So everything that happened to Adam was in passed along by what? Oral tradition. So somebody was a custodian of the Messiah, of the promise of the Messiah. Are you with me? Good. So see verse 4. Oh, sorry, I'm saying verse 4. This is commentary. Amen. So the first coming of Christ was revealed to Adam. His second glorious coming to Enoch. So John Wesley said the first coming was revealed to Adam. The second coming was revealed to Enoch. The seventh from Adam foretold the things which will conclude the seventh age of the world. Jude might know this from some ancient book or tradition. Or, write this last one down. Jude must have known this either by some ancient book or tradition or immediate revelation. Because he used the word behold. You know, behold looks like somebody saw something. Are you with me? Behold, the Lord comments. So, from ancient book or tradition or immediate revelation. So, was Jude speaking by the Spirit when he said that? Or did he read something that was sacred somewhere? Or was it a tradition that was not recorded? IJ, are you alive? Are you okay? Good. So, my favorite, Adams Clark, said something. Adams Clark said concerning these things and persons, for doubtless he reproved the ungodliness of his own times. Say, of course, that would mean he reproved the ungodliness of his own times. It is certain that a book of Enoch was known in the earlier ages of the primitive church, and is quoted by Origen and Tertullian, and is mentioned by Saint Jerome, right? Okay, in the Apostolic Constitution by Nephiphorus. Now, let me skip to where I'm going. So, such work is still. Hold on. Okay, now, so this man just believed, according to his own, he was so clear. He said there should be a book called the Book of Enoch that is known by the primitive church that was likely not added to the canon of the scripture. Are you with me? But now, this last woman I will be reading, after this I will be done, which is J.F.B. J.F.B. said, there are reasons given by some for thinking the book of Enoch copied from Jude rather than vice versa. That ancient book that they call the book of Enoch, he has reasons to believe that the book copied the prophecy of Jude and not
vice versa. Because also, we don't have any reference in the Bible again to any book of Enoch. Then also, don't forget, who was the first man to pen down something? Moses. Who lived long after the flood. So how can a book of Enoch have survived the flood? Survived? I mean, where was it? Oral tradition? Huh? So it will now be serious that Jesus did not say anything about it. Not Paul. Nobody. So, which one should we stick with? Was Jude speaking by the Spirit? I'm asking a question, but it's still rhetorical. Was he speaking by the Spirit? Like, see on the introduction on the source, the Holy Spirit by Jude has sealed the truth of this as much matter contained in the book of Enoch. Though probably that book, as well as Jude, derived it from tradition. There are some reasons given by some for thinking that the book of Enoch copied from Jude rather than vice versa. It is striking how from the first prophecy, hastened towards its consummation. So, this is what I will say. So, one thing we know. Enoch's sudden disappearance was what? Enoch's sudden disappearance was what? A tool of prophecy. Are you with me? How did Enoch preach in his time? What was his ultimate message? How did they preach? Sir, stand up. Come and stand there. Yes, come and stand there. Yes. Please come and stand there. Please, you heard me? Drop that in. So, what is his ultimate medium of communication? The way he communicated ultimately is his appearance. It was a message. What was the message? The what? Glorification of the saints. Amen. Praise God. So, how did Abraham prophesy? Through what? Through the life of Isaac. How did Enoch prophesy? Through, he was cut off. From what we have in the Bible. Because E.G., that's 10,000. Because to me, it looks like Jude mixed what Enoch did with what he knows that Christ will do. Because that was 10,000, it was not a, if you look at, check the Greek, it's not like a real number, just like a multitude. So Jude was speaking about, let me just say, Jude interpreted Enoch's disappearance. Because when he said the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, it's before he comes down with his saints, what will first happen? The saints will be glorified. So, because the events around the second coming of Jesus will first start with what we call rapture, right? Then what? The coming with the saints. So they are together. So second coming is beyond just, is not Jesus alone coming for the saints, it's Jesus coming with the saints. Are you with me? Are you with me? So it's not about the disappearance of Enoch. It's not about Isaac. It has always been about the Christ. Amen. Say Christ Jesus has been the message across the ages. Say Christ Jesus, him alone, I see as I look at the prophets. Okay, pray in tongues, everybody. Pray in tongues. Thank you. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray in tongues. Christ Jesus, the message of the prophets. The message of the prophet.